Hi, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Thursday, August 17th. And here are some of the stories we are covering. The U.S. calls for de-escalation of tension between the DRC and Rwanda.
It could work because they need reconciliation. We need someone who can step in it diplomatically and talk to the both governments, the government of Rwanda and the government of Congo.
A group of Democratic Republic of Congo citizens in the diaspora forms a People's Coalition government in exile. Zimbabwe's main opposition worries about political violence ahead of the August 23rd election, but the police said all parties are being treated equally. Sierra Leone's information minister says his government did not shut down a radio station that was to air a pre-recorded interview with the U.S. ambassador.
We're having conversations that are frankly above this particular ambassador, who seems to have some personal views that he seems excited to project and share.
And Somalia is expected to join the East African community this year. Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The United States has called on Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo to de-escalate after a new flare-up in tensions between the two countries. Kinshasa's military late last month accused Rwandan forces of entering its troubled border area, a claim Kigali denies, which has also been accused of backing rebels in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. The State Department said in a statement, Secretary of State Blinken had a productive call with Rwandan President Paul Kagame about the volatile situation. Jean-Paul Ruhosha is the executive director of Congo Today, a local organization that advocates for peace and reconciliation in DRC. He explains to viewers Douglas Mpuga the root cause of the tension between the two countries.
The root cause is way back, if I can go back in the history, 27 years ago. There was a conflict between people who are Tutsi in Congo and the Congolese themselves about the issues that was going on. There was genocide was prepared in 1996. Then Rwanda get to come in and intervened when there was an issue between Rwanda and FDR, which was in Congo by the time. They freed Rwanda in 1994 after genocide, and then they went to Congo. So the conflict started at that time between Congo and Rwanda. Again, remember that in Congo, there is a Tutsi, Banyamulenge, who are Tutsi. There is a people from Masisi who are Tutsi. There is a Bahema who are in Ituri. Those are Tutsi. There is always conflict between them and other Maimai, and this time there is the support of the government. Therefore, the root causes, it's a way back. It's from all those times, all those conflicts, and always the hate between Congolese themselves, especially the regime, the current regime, and the Tutsi.
The U.S. Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, has called for de-escalation. Given all this complex situation, do you think his call will work?
Of course it can work, because that's exactly what we've been doing as a Congo Today, trying to engage the government, the international community to intervene. It could work because they need reconciliation. We need someone who can step in diplomatically and talk to the both governments, the government of Rwanda and the government of Congo. That could work. Of course, the reconciliation is the key. Diplomatic way is the key to resolve this issue.
To what extent are administrations in Kigali and Kinshasa responsible for this tension or for this lack of resolution of this conflict?
I don't think Kigali has any responsibility toward that. Here's why. One, Rwanda is another country that is independent. Congo is another country, independent, have its own sovereignty and everything. Congo should be responsible to guarantee and protect his own people, but they haven't been able. Instead, they always choose Rwanda, whatever they can choose them. But again, we have seen many issues that was caused by Congo toward the Rwanda aggression in this issue. They said that Rwanda have created M23. I don't believe so, because the issue of North Kivu is the same issue that is in South Kivu. South Kivu, there is no M23 there, but there is a fight always there in South Kivu, in Minembwe, if you know that. Now, there is another issue that is in Ituri, where there is a Bahema who are Tutsi. There is no M23 there. Therefore, it's not the issue of Rwanda on that time. It's the responsibility of Congo. Me, I don't blame Rwanda in any minute. on that issue. Not only that, Rwanda has been very calm on this issue. Remember, Congo did sharing the bombs in Rwanda a couple months ago, and Rwanda didn't respond.
That was Jean-Paul Ruhosha, Executive Director of Congo Today. He was speaking with my colleague Douglas Umpuga from Washington, D.C. A group of Democratic Republic of Congo citizens in the diaspora has formed what they are calling a People's Coalition Government in Exile. They are calling on President Felix Tshisekedi to step down because they say he has failed to serve the people. They cite what they call deteriorating social and economic conditions and the presence of foreign forces on Congolese soil. The DRC will vote in presidential and parliamentary elections on December 20th. Emery Damien Kawira is the president of the new Popular Coalition Government. He tells me his group is responding to the cries of the Congolese people for relief.
The Congolese population is very tired by the power of Kabila and Tshisekedi. Therefore, they asked us to do immediately something for stop this power. They cannot continue with Tshisekedi and the Kabila because they are continuing suffering. And that's why, by answering to the Congolese population, we organized again ourselves and we decided to put the popular coalition and popular government. And that's why we had a conference in Brussels, and by all the authority, the personality who are there, we decided to give to the Congolese population the power of people which will allow them to make change in DRC.
Who are some of the members of your coalition? Are they all in the diaspora, or do you have some members in the DRC?
The majority of the members of this government, they are in Congo, and we are preparing another conference, a popular conference in Goma, in Bukavu, in Kisangani, and in Kinshasa. When we have all those popular conferences, we will now organize the people to make application of the Article of 64 of Constitution, which allows to every Congolese to use all it's possible for put out all personality which getting and doing the power without respecting the interests of the country. And this is the case with Tshisekedi and Joseph Kabila. They don't respect the people, they don't protect the country, and that's why they must go. And for this occasion, I can take this time to ask to Felix Tshisekedi to resign himself because he don't have capability to lead the country.
The DRC is supposed to have elections sometime this year. Now, do you intend to participate in the election?
We cannot accept these elections in these conditions. It will be the joke, the new game, a fake game, which allowed Tshisekedi to remain on the power because all the electoral commission, it's under control of friends of Tshisekedi. The constitutional court, it's under control of friends of Tshisekedi. The police, which can allow to control and to make safe the electoral process, they are under control of Felix Tshisekedi. And that's why the Congolese people are very, very tired with this fake game, this called elections. And now we need Tshisekedi to resign himself before people to get up and to put him out.
But how do you hope to gain power if you will not participate in the election?
We already have the people with us, and we already have the popular government, popular power, and the popular coalition. And you know that the power is for the people.
Emery Damien Kawira is the president of the Congolese Coalition for Transition. He was speaking with us from Brussels. Sierra Leone's information minister says its government did not shut down a radio station on Wednesday just as it was about to air a pre-recorded interview with the outgoing U.S. ambassador. Radio Democracy 98.1 temporarily went off the airwaves just when the discussion with the ambassador David Raymond was due to air. VOA listened to part of the exchange in which the ambassador said the U.S. is concerned about irregularities in the results of Sierra Leone's June 24 elections, raising concerns about the integrity of the official tally. Information Minister Chernow Bah tells me that it is ridiculous for anyone to suggest he order a temporary shutdown of the radio station.
The fact of the matter is that Radio Democracy had invited me to be on air. I was there. The station went off at some point. I was even making calls trying to see what was happening. I woke up very early from my house to be at the station to engage the people of Sierra Leone, something that I've been doing, and I believe is my sacred duty. It's a duty of government. And what happened is the station went off. We waited until almost an hour. They couldn't get the station back on, and then I left. And then a few hours later, my phone starts buzzing. Apparently, fake news had gone to overdrive because somebody apparently had leaked the interview that the outgoing American ambassador had done. I think they needed a cover story for leaking the interview. And basically, the cover story has become, for some reason, that I was there to stop 98 from airing an interview. How do you stop a pre-recorded interview from airing? It is beyond ridiculous.
The reason I ask is because, and I listened to part of the ambassador's interview where he mentioned the recent election. The suggestion here is that the ambassador's interview was critical of the election, and that I think you demanded a response.
That's patently false. First of all, we had no idea about what the ambassador would have said. I was invited to Radio Democracy. You can independently confirm that. I was there to engage the media, which is something that we were doing. Just the day before, we had our press conference. They wanted to ask additional questions on clarifying. And I suppose that part of the conversation will have been an opportunity, which we look forward to respond on the substance of some of the things the outgoing ambassador had to say. I think he gave some of his personal opinions on stuff, which he's entitled to, but none of those things will warrant the government of Sierra Leone to even imagine stopping an interview. This is, again, it's beyond the pale.
You mentioned the ambassador said something in his interview. He talked again. As I said, he talked about the election. What does your government think about what he said?
The government of Sierra Leone has been very clear. Elections are over. There's only one competent body in our country that has the powers to question our election results, and that is the courts of Sierra Leone. Those who have the standing to do so can go to courts. Our president has been certified as duly elected. We enjoy and continue to enjoy a very good working relationship with our international partners, including the United States. We're having conversations that are frankly above this particular ambassador, who seems to have some personal views that he seems excited to project and share, which we have no problems with him sharing his personal views, but they do not reflect, frankly, the spirit and nature and the content of our wider strategic engagement with the United States of America.
Chernow Bah is Sierra Leone's information minister. He was speaking with me from the capital, Freetown. You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. Today is Thursday, August 17. For more African news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. A spokesperson for Zimbabwe's main opposition Citizens Coalition for Change, also known as Triple C, says the party is happy with the reception it is getting from voters on the campaign trail. However, deputy spokesperson Gift Ostalus Siziba says the party is very worried about what he calls political violence. Zimbabwe police this week confirmed the arrest of 40 Triple C supporters for contravening provisions of the Maintenance of Peace and Order Act. Zimbabwe votes in presidential and parliamentary elections on August 23rd. Ziba tells me that the reception from voters is a clear sign that Zimbabweans want change.
We're very happy with the turnout of people today. We're in Mashona and East. People are coming out in numbers to support, particularly the countryside. It is an impressive thing for us because it's a clear sign that Zimbabweans want change. Zimbabweans expecting change as soon as yesterday. We're very worried, of course, by the escalating cases of political motivated violence. Just 40 of our members have been arrested in Harare, 10 in Chitungwiza, and 2 from Mashona and East, which is a worrying thing because we are just 7 days from the election and we don't expect such things to be happening. Again, we have been in the High Court. We expect that we finish the bilateral conversation with the Commission as per the details of the High Court in relation to the voters' roll and polling station distribution across the country, because the voters' roll is at the center of elections in this country, and therefore it is per the requisitions of the law, both the Constitution and the Electoral Act, that political parties and contesting parties must be given the voters' roll, and that's why we have went to the court. Thirdly, we have also obviously been worried about the postal voting, where voters, particularly in the security forces, 18,000 of them have been commanded to vote in front of their superiors. So such command voting is problematic because it voids the freeness and choice of the voters, who are police officers, soldiers, and of course prison officers.
You mentioned the arrest on Tuesday of members of the opposition. What is the status now?
They are going to court tomorrow with the special lawyers and legal, so that we make sure that they are given bail tomorrow and they are able to reunite with the other campaigners so that we continue with our programs.
The police said that they were arrested because they contravened the provisions of the Maintenance of Order and Peace Act. Can you shed light on this?
It's a criminal abuse of the police force by ZANU-PF, because what that does, it creates acrimony in the country, it creates animosity, and it's a clear indication of an animal farm kingdom where there is a law for ZANU-PF and the law for the rest of us, because ZANU-PF is continuing to use door-to-door car rallies, though they are not acceptable to the people, but they're doing so freely, and only the alternative and CCC is not allowed to do their activities.
Gift Ostalos Ziziba is the deputy spokesperson for Zimbabwe's main opposition, Citizens Coalition for Change. He was speaking with me from the capital, Harare. A spokesperson for Zimbabwe police says the police are ready to ensure that the country's August 23rd election will take place in a peaceful, free, fair, and credible environment. Paul Nyanti says opposition allegations that the police are brutal with opposition supporters while treating the ruling ZANU-PF supporters with kid gloves are unfounded.
Everything in terms of the police, we are ready to ensure that the elections are held in a peaceful, free, fair, and credible environment.
What do you make of the arrests yesterday of these opposition people? And they are saying that they see two-tier policing, one for the ruling ZANU-PF and one for the opposition. How do you respond to that?
The law is very clear. We have arrested people across the board. We are a police, which is the policing according to the laws of the country. In during this campaign, we have arrested ZANU-PF supporters. This is on record. For example, what happened in Glenview, so far, we arrested 50 ZANU-PF supporters. So we will not also again hesitate to arrest PC supporters if they commit a crime like what they did in Machipisa, where they openly blocked the traffic and they captured on videos which went viral on social media, chanting, singing, and some people went and made their reports. So there's nothing sinister, alarming, or controversial about their arrest. If they commit any crime like any other Zimbabwean, law will apply without fear or favor.
Paul Nyanti is the Zimbabwe police spokesperson. He was speaking with me from the capital, Harare. Somalia will become the East African Community's 8th member after the Democratic Republic of Congo was admitted last year. Somalia's admission comes after Mogadishu applied to join the community in 2012. EAC Secretary General Peter Matuki commented on the matter during a press conference in Arusha, Tanzania. Moses Javier Rimana has the story.
Somalia would become the East African Community's eighth member state after Democratic Republic of Congo was admitted early last year. Somalia's admission comes after Mogadishu applied to join the community in 2012. East African Community Secretary General Peter Matuki commented on the matter during a press conference in Arusha.
The EAC conducted a verification mission to assess the readiness of Somalia to join the bloc, and this report was deliberated and shared with all the partner states. And therefore, the negotiations with the admitting Somalia will be beginning on 22nd of this month to the 5th of September. The report of those negotiations will be submitted to the Council of Ministers and to the heads of states to adopt and make a decision.
The East African Community Verification Team, which was made up of experts from the East African Community partner states, sought to establish the country's level of conformity with the criteria for admitting new countries. Fred Mukasambide is an East African Community integration expert and vice president of the Uganda's Democratic Party.
The admission of Somalia to the East African Community integration process by the president is laudable. It is an A1 decision. It will aid into transmogrifying the minds and the ideas of governance from the clan mentality to economies of integration. And in any case, the East African Community equally stands to benefit from the longest coastline that of course Somalia has along the Gulf of Aden to the north.
Under the East African Community Treaty, the criteria for the admission of new countries into the bloc include adherence to universal acceptable principles of good governance, democracy, the rule of law, the observance of human rights, social justice, and geographical proximity. Abdullah Ibrahim is a Somali government consultant based in Nairobi and was part of the delegation that supported the East African Community Verification Team in Somalia.
East African Community member states also recognize Somalia as a regional country that there is much to integrate and work towards, including peace and security, immigrations. There is a lot Somalia hopes to gain, but also the region has a lot to gain from Somalia because of its connectivity to a lot of international trade and Middle East, as well as a lot of diaspora that have actually are working in America, Europe, everywhere.
Besides trade, Somalia is aiming to gain peace and security upon joining the bloc after decades of battling the Al-Shabaab terrorist group. The African Union Transition Mission mandate is expected to end next year, and most of the troop contributing countries to Somalia are members of the East African Community. For VOA Africa, I'm Moses Havyarimana.
Niger's military junta on Wednesday said 17 of its soldiers were killed in an ambush by insurgents, the deadliest attack since a July 26 coup, whose leaders have cited persistent insecurity as a justification for deposing the civilian government. The ambush took place on Tuesday, about 40 miles from the capital Niamey, in a southwestern area that borders Burkina Faso, the defense ministry said, adding that 100 attackers referred to as terrorists were killed. And that's it for this Thursday, August 17th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for being our guest this morning. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, I am James Barty in Washington saying, have a great day, and please be safe, whatever you do.
We join many of our youth across the continent in celebrating the completion of their secondary school education over the summer. This week on Our Voices, we'll shed light on the pressing issue of the rising cost of higher education associated with cost. Join the conversation Wednesdays at 1900 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.